who are really the backbone of our park maintenance function. Seems like a lot, but when you start breaking them down to all the different functions, it's not a lot. Now you take that down to the fact that we in essence, our parks are open 365 days a year. We staff them every day by Christmas. So every day of the year, someone is coming in and opening, closing, cleaning restrooms, so forth. We have 7-day coverage. And remember I said there's 5 or 6 people in each one of those compounds. We have 2 shifts. So we have a Sunday through Thursday shift and a Tuesday through Saturday shift. So on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have all 5 or 6 of them. On Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we only have 3 or 4 or 2 or 3 in the compound. So if someone's on vacation, we've got vacancies in every compound right now, we are very likely then have no choice to only have one person coming in and working alone in the parks. That's where we ran into the challenge of, hey, it's because of the size of our crews, the way we have to split them up to cover 7 days, we're forcing ourselves to having one person go out in the parks on a very frequent basis.
But not at night, right?
Not at night. These are all folks that are primarily working early, 7 to 3:30. We'll go to 5 to 1:30 here another couple of weeks. These are all people that are working earlier in the daytime.
But B-Shift is a separate crew, and they work, what did you say, 2 to 10?
2 to 10:30.
Right. Yeah.
And keep our normal routine is our goal is to check every bathroom every day. We hit all of our larger parks every day. Neighborhood parks, no. Once or twice a week is the most we're going to get to them unless they have a bathroom. So our core things that we're trying to do every day, we really can't do with this structure with 2 or 3 people or 1 or 2 reporting on the weekends. So how do we fix that? That's what we were trying to focus in on. So the first change we made or are making is we created a new supervisor position over an area we're calling Park Assistance and Community Engagement, PACE. The focus of this supervisor, well, it's a team. We created a new supervisor. We're also going to locate a park maintenance coordinator under this team and a groundskeeper under this team. And the whole focus of this team is really to help us hone in on the challenges we're dealing with homelessness in the park. So when a work order comes in that we have an encampment in the park, one of our regional supervisors is going out, doing the assessment, and then it goes through a whole loop of steps. But it's hard for those folks, because they're dealing with so much with operations, to continue check on that and follow up on it. So what we're trying to do is create a team whose sole purpose is every day they are going out, checking these sites in the parks, keeping track of it, working with our Housing First team, our TPD team, our outreach team that goes out and talks to them about services. So it's their job to network with these other service providers and daily check on the folks in the parks and see what we can do to get services, to get them moving on, and hopefully help reduce the population that's staying in the park on a regular basis. So that'll be these 3 people's primary focus is looking at how we're being impacted by homelessness in the park and tracking it every day of the week. We are working through a set of about 7 metrics that we'll ask them to track on a weekly basis and report those to Larry and myself and our leadership team so we can see if this change is having an impact or not. This new supervisor will also then take over the B shift so that they've got more than just this. They'll have a B shift that's working at night, which we think is actually a good overlap with if we're having challenges at certain parks, especially this time of year where we have little leagues out there with homeless challenges. The B shift can then also be directed to follow up certain hotspots as well. So this supervisor will be over both of those crews. The other significant change we made was reducing the number of compounds in each one of those regions. So as I said before, we had 3 in the west, a compound at Mission Manor, Jacobs, and we used to have one at Lincoln Park. A compound is in essence where our staff report in the morning. That's where their equipment's at. In the central region, we had 3, Reed Park, Allen Hall, and Freedom Park. And in the east region, we had 3, Jesse Owens, Oracle, and Lincoln. By reducing to 2 in each of those compounds, each of those sections, and reallocating those staff, now you see we actually have 9 groundskeepers or 8 groundskeepers reporting to a compound. So now on the weekends, we have four or five people coming in, and the likelihood of us having just one person or two working alone is significantly reduced, if not eliminated. Now, we still have the same workload. We still have to cover all the parks we covered before, but at least with a larger work crew, it's much more likely we will get all of the core tasks that we need to get done with a larger crew. So that was a significant change. Trades, we did not make any changes. Sports maintenance, we didn't make any changes. Irrigation, we actually made one structural change and added a park maintenance coordinator in there. So kind of a level supervision between the supervisors and frontline staff. And then you see kind of the new structure with the park assistants, the PACE team in there. So this was a fairly significant change to our operations. Again, kind of the same chart as before. We still have 114 people. We actually have one frozen park maintenance coordinator position that's been frozen for months. So we actually don't need that position in our new structure. We're going from 15 to 14 with the new structure. So that gives us a position that eventually, if it becomes unfrozen, we can figure out what the need of the department is. If we need to support something, we've got a big thing we can use to allocate it how we think is most important for the department. We also got approval to hire five groundskeepers, what we call overhires. So even though I've got 55 groundskeepers up here, we never have 55 groundskeepers. It's a high turnover area. So I think we're down six or seven right now. So with these five overhires, we could actually have 60 if we ever had all of them filled. The beauty of that is, going back to this slide, we will put one of those overhires at Jacobs, so they'll have nine. One at Allen Hall, they'll have nine. One at East Region at Fort Lowell, so they'll have nine. So everybody will then be at nine. We will place one with the sports unit who has 12 groundskeepers, so that should help keep them closer to 12. And then we will also put one of those overhires in our PACE team. So it's putting an overhire in all the key areas that we're trying to make sure we're fully staffed as much as possible. So we're going to use those overhires and distribute them that way across the system.
That's if you get those five groundskeepers.
We have been given approval to fill them, and we are doing a recruitment right now. So we will try to fill all of our current vacancies plus five more.
So,
yep.
One, two, three, four. Who else?
Okay. Applications are coming in right now. We understand, change for a lot of people is not easy. So we met with staff that were directly impacted. This is pretty much 90% of the presentation we went through with them. We've already made the staff changes. We've already inventoried the tools and looked at how we're going to reallocate those from the free compounds that, they've got a lot of equipment there. So how we'll disperse that equipment. One change we made that we knew they would like previously, the fourth bullet point there, the teams that work Tuesday through Saturday in February would switch to Sunday through Thursday and vice versa. And a lot of them didn't like that because they got used to a schedule. So we are not going to do that anymore. Because we'll have four or five of each of these schedules at each of those compounds, if you don't like your schedule, as vacancies come up, which is going to happen, they can request to move to another vacancy where they like the schedule better. So we think that free movement will help them have a consistent schedule that they like better. We've heard positive feedback on that. We will continue to change their times seasonally. Like, I think we go to 5:30 a.m., getting them out there while it's cooler, getting them out here at 1:30. So those kinds of changes will continue to happen.
Not soon enough.
Yeah, well, we didn't anticipate such an early.
I know.
Yeah.
It's good for morale when you know that your schedule is going to be on.
Yeah, consistency is good. Just so we can facilitate, placing the folks for the three compounds that we were getting rid of, those staff specifically were allowed to give us their top three preferred locations where they wanted to go to. They could pick a compound, they could pick the sports team, B shift, they could pick to go to irrigation or construction maintenance if they met the qualifications, but at least it gave those folks that were being displaced a chance to pick somewhere where they wanted to go. We were able to give everybody either their first or second preference, and most of them actually got to go to their preferred schedule as well. So it worked out pretty well as far as how we ended up shifting staff. This is the slide I forgot to update. We started this back in February as far as the transition. On the 5th, as we did when we did the presentations, we gave them the forms to tell us where they wanted to go. On the 12th, those forms were due back to us so we could understand where they wanted to go and we could start thinking through those decisions. On February 26th, we announced to everybody where they were going to be shifting to. On March 8th, we just shifted the park maintenance coordinators first, so we wanted to get them into their new location. Plus, we have to give groundskeepers, I think, 2 weeks notice when we make changes for union, following union rules. So we just rotated the groundskeepers on Sunday of this week. So we have now completed the rotation. Everybody is in their new locations. So far, no hiccups, no significant challenges. Things are going pretty well. One thing we have told staff, and again, this is just coming from the presentation we gave to them, is we're going to have to continue to evaluate it. As much as we think we didn't forget anything, I'm sure we missed something in here. Something's going to come up. It won't be on the road. We'll fix it. We'll work through it. We may have to make adjustments. That's just part of the process. And we've told them we'll continue to encourage their feedback. If they see something, run enough chain, we'll make changes we need to. The thing we wanted to emphasize with staff was this was really driven by what we heard from them with working alone and homelessness. Is all of this was specifically tailored towards what we heard from staff and how we think we can make changes to address their concern. That was the impetus behind why we're doing what we're doing. So with that, happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Quick question. Santa Rosa Park eventually is going to be finished.
Yep.
Okay. Will the staff already scheduled for the new opening of Santa Rosa Park? And if that is the case, do we have a focus on homelessness?
So the focus will be at all the parks, and wherever we're seeing the challenge, that PACE team will hone in on those areas. One of the biggest challenges for us with this change is our whole work order system, what our frontline staff use to know what they're supposed to do every day, comes out on their phone, so they get these tasks, and those tasks were automatically generated based upon the compound they work in. So we had to completely redo that because we just didn't take a compound and say, okay, Lincoln Park took care of these. We started fresh. We said, okay, you know what? We're only working out 6 sites. How do we reorganize all of our parks back to these 6 sites to be the most effective way? So we had to completely redo the whole structure for how we assign staff to go do tasks, and that was not easy to do. But John Bonilla did a phenomenal job of working with the supervisors, saying, okay, this is how we can balance it out and make it work the best we can.
I wanted to introduce some action which is being undertaken by Ward 5, where Santa Rita Park is, and they're having this huge call to the public. Okay, this park is reopening. This is going to be a family park. We want to help. We want to volunteer. We want to. So is there something that maybe there could be some kind of coordination with Parks and Recs and Ward 5 specifically? This is within their areas to make it happen, to reduce the homelessness as little as possible.
So that's already happening. There's a new, I don't know if they've officially made themselves the Friends of Santa Rita yet, but there's a group that has started with that.
Yes.
And just last night they had a meeting and 2 of our staff members attended. So, and I got an email this morning asking me to attend one in April where TPD will also be part of. So depending on how our PACE recruitment goes, we're currently actively recruiting right now. If that individual is hired by then they would also accompany. So that's one of the other components to the PACE position and team is we hear from neighborhood associations all the time. They'd like to get involved and be part of the solution. So we're hoping having that unit available where, say, we had a park not too long ago, Alvernon, they had a very strong neighborhood group that was willing to go in the park and help. This position could help coordinate with them, right, and set up for a volunteer day or an adoption day or something. So we're already on that path right now, and we hope that that will be part of the strategy of making sure the park is successful when it opens.
This is very great because I know the neighborhood is really expecting, you know, mm-hmm. wants that park to happen, not being, you know, rerun the way it was before. You know?
Yeah. They're doing the right thing because they're stepping up to coordinate themselves to be there to be part of the solution, which is always, you know, kind of speaks to what Ram was talking about. Collaboration with the different partners helps us to then meet the end.
I just want to say thank you very much for the presentation and all the effort it took to, you know, get that feedback from everybody who works for Parks and Rec to make it work out.
And you're working with CORE at TPD?
That will be one of the key things with this new supervisor coming in. We will make sure we are facilitating, introducing them to all the key partners that we've worked with.
So there's a weekly meeting, safe meeting, that happens on Thursdays right at lunchtime. So it's called, you have to bring your lunch with you.
Okay.
So I'll have to educate the person on that. And we are always talking. So TPD is there, DTM, Housing First. We're all there, and there's different topics each time that are focusing on things we're trying to lift up and or problem areas or new initiatives, part of the Safe City Plan. The hope is this person would be able to be more of a dominant role in that meeting, and then I'd be able to back out a little. There's also the Viva program.
Yeah.
This person would also be involved in attending those, especially when it comes to them wanting outreach or some sort of engagement or help in spaces, right? And we've heard from AmFi, right? AmFi neighborhood, and they're still very much interested in seeing that park come back. But that's a Viva site, so that's where we would connect and insert by having someone that we can dedicate.
Yeah. Thanks. Ananda, do you have anything? No, I didn't. I read her lips. So.
Thank you.
I am really happy to see that there's going to be more weekend.
Yes.
Yes. Coverage. I think that's a big deal.
We were intentional in trying to get all of the changes done this month. As we know, come in April, May is of your biggest time of year for Ramada reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to make sure we had our routines figured out, who was covering what, because now you're not going to have just restrooms on weekends. You're going to have, you know,
graduation.
Lincoln Park and Reed Park, we can have 5-10 reservations for Ramadas every Saturday, Sunday, and they got to go prep all those Ramadas every weekend too. So it's a busy time of the year for those folks.
Yep. Yes, thank you. Can we have that presentation sent to us?
Sure.
Thank you. A lot of work.
He's an expert now. He's given it a bunch of times.
You can do it in your sleep.
But it was very intentional to wanting. We just want everybody to be aware of what we're trying to do. And that's intentional.
Good. Thank you. Recognizing Parks History Process.
So this was one that Antonio, we had it on a future agenda item, and then Antonio asked to speak today. So I'll briefly talk about what he mentioned he wanted to be aware of specifically. So Danny Lopez Park still doesn't have signage up. Danny Lopez, for the benefit of both Kathy's, we had a construction project going on there that ended up falling into a violation within the archaeological sensitivity zone. And we've been navigating through how to remediate and get to a place where we're told that project can move forward. Right around the time of that happening is when the renaming process happened.
Yeah.
And because we are very much in this space of tribal relations, we are working pretty much through what the Tohono O'odham are comfortable with and when. So we're not in control right now. And it's also something that's being handled through the mayor's office. And Ward 1 is also and the vice mayor is also involved. And it's not that nothing's happening. And I know if people feel like nothing's happening, but there are things they would like to see done to then get to the point of, one, allowing us to proceed with the project, And two, because Danny Lopez was such a great, obviously had a park named after him for a reason, they want the signage to be installed around a ceremonial component. So, and we are not the experts on that at all, so we need to wait for what they would like to do and how they would like to do it. And so we're just going to sit in that space until we get that information. But all the prior name signage is down, and we actually have the signs ready. We also know that the friends of Danny Lopez applied for a grant and received some money to do like an interpretive sign, right?
Yes.
So something above and beyond what we had planned to tell his story. And they're also talking to the artist that was selected as part of the public art to go in there to weave that together, which is, so in a way, the delay can probably come out to be even better because of the synergy between all the things. The other aspect of that I remember is we had talked about, so Dr. Spark had at some point, I believe he came to one of our commission meetings and talked about that we have a lot of parks that are named after people, but their stories are not really known. So Sierra has helped me to figure out what could be some options, that are sustainable options for being able to put some sort of signage. So fun fact, we have 43 parks that are named after individuals. And it's going to be interesting to kind of do the research and figure out the process of putting the signs up. Right now, where we are is we know what the structure will look like the sign and the frame and the format. And having learned from some old signage, the format was very specific for us so that we could save those digital files. So if they're vandalized or they fade, they're able to be redone. And what the city manager's office has asked is for us to have a plan to do one per ward per year. And I've recommended those first six. I don't know if you all remember sometime last year, maybe the year before, we did Ka Dang, which was a brand new park.
Yeah.
In the, was it Garden District, Flower District?
Garden District.
Yeah. And so his was super fresh, and so many letters that we had talking about his legacy that we were able, so we have that mocked up already. Okay. And then in concert with, so part of it was also in concert with the ones that we were processing, had in process. And then we would still do one from the city for Danny Lopez. So we've kind of figured out a path. I would forecast that we will probably start making those in the new fiscal year, just because we're getting to the end of this one. But I will do some notes based on what I shared with you all, and we'll email Antonio and see if he still wants it to come back, since he wasn't able to be here.
You know, we've gone through a couple of issues fairly recently. Okay, we have that sale to bail issue with the on tribal land. Okay. Mm. And then more recently, we had the contributing structure at Santa Rita Park at Liberty Flats.
Yeah.
And which was demolished, obviously. Mm. And I think, okay, moving forward, we would select any kind of work to be, you know, related to a park. We need to go through the, you know, local historic zoning advisory board, at least, okay, definitely through the city historic preservation commission, okay, so as not to, you know, encounter more issues like this, because, you know, it's a small town. If we tear it down, we're not going to have nothing left.
So we have some good news in that realm. The planning department applied for a state grant to be funded to do that kind of survey across all parks, right? It's for all parks. And collect the historical, so archaeological historical information, so that that could be then considered automatically into the permitting process to flag. And also, since everything that occurred, we have a new historical preservation officer, and we now have our own archaeological, they don't work for me, they work for PDSD. So there's been changes already that are moving in the direction to ensure that we don't fall into similar situations again. Desiree's amazing. That's the historical preservation officer, and she's already helped us to navigate through processes. So Jenny Lopez has a phase two of Prop 407, and so that is already in that review process. So I think that it shows and conveys that we really have tried. They've stood up a lot of things to make sure that we're all held accountable to making those commitments to what we need to do done the right way.
We typically, we routinely go through those historical commission reviews in the areas where that's required. Neither one of those would catch a cultural issue like we're dealing with at Jenny Lopez. So there's a difference.
But there's, you mentioned this Desiree Arona. She's a phenomenal person. Okay. She, you know, previous preservation, historic preservation officer were working against us a lot of the time.
Okay. Mm.
This is totally different. She's really working with us. She has a knowledge. You know, she goes back to San Francisco to, you know, to Phoenix. She knows what to look for.
Okay. Right.
So that's really a joint person because she's great. Okay.
So hopefully that signals that we have changed. The city has changed.
Yes, yes. It's a tremendous change. It's really good.
Thank you. Thank you. No problem.
And then
the proposed fee.
Yeah. So I sent a note about this ahead of time because it was already on the agenda. So we were originally scheduled to be with the last council meeting on fees, but we decided to take a different approach and a little more time to finesse what our fees are proposed to be. So right now we're still briefing mayor and council, and we're shooting for an agenda of April 7th. And then, so it would definitely be something we'd bring what is proposed on the April 22nd meeting. Also, provided, I do think we're going to make it April 7th. We do have a set schedule of public meetings, not just open townhouse type meetings, but also specific user group meetings. So if it's something sports related, if it's something pool related, if it's something kid related, those different audiences will be doing specific reach outs to those stakeholders that we know we have the contact information for. So we'll talk about that as well in the meeting. If we are on the April 7th, then it's forecasted that provided everything goes well, we would be set for adoption in June and fees to initialize July 1st. So we're in that window right now.
As a general point, are those fees just cost of living adjustment, or are we trying to recover some of the funding that disappeared?
So we were tasked with how could we do better cost recovery. But what we understood is that when we first talked about fees in December at the cost of service study session, there's not a great comfort level in when you see what it actually costs to do it, pushing that out. So that's why we revisited again to try to do some more incremental, gradual increases. And so that's where we are right now, and that's what we're briefing. And because it hasn't gone public yet and we're still collecting input from our electeds, that's why we can't present it today.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, in April for sure we'll go over everything. But we'll also make sure you're aware of all the meetings if you do want to attend. And they'll be all over the city and virtual.
No questions? So now we go on to Parks and Rec Commissioners. If you have any announcements for announcements. Manon, do you have anything?
Not at this time, thanks.
Okay. Kathy, do you have anything to announce?
No.
Well, I do. Okay. So, we had a mixer yesterday at Ward 6 of all Ward 6 commissioner, where First of all, I need to thank Commissioner Hamway and Diana Schroeder for their help in putting together mission statements. this was very well received. I mean, the purpose was to make Parks and Rec shine, and it did. And a long talk with Councilwoman Schubert's chief of staff, Kirstie Weil, and as soon as we come up, I explained to her, our fundraising efforts, due to our funding cuts and the programs that we had to curtail, that we'd like to bring back eventually. And I got a very enthusiastic reception. Ward 6 committed to put whatever advertising we would give them on a weekly basis in their weekly newsletter. Regarding fundraising, whatever we think, would work for us, and they're with us. This was a success. So let's build on it. I was asking some of the other commissioners whether other wards have monthly meetings. Oh, by the way, this is going to be a new thing for Ward 6. There's going to be monthly meetings of all commissioners. They keep on top of things, which I think is very good. If you happen to speak to your specific wards, please spread the word that we're starting a fundraising campaign and we need the help to advertise it. If they have a newsletter, we want to be on it. Maybe the director can speak to City of Tucson so that we should appear, the fundraiser itself should appear on the City of Tucson daily newsletter. If you look back at, marketing strategies, the only people who really understand, something is when you repeat it. If you keep on repeating it every day, they'll get the hint that we need money. If they want to keep their trees and their recreation areas, they're gonna have to pitch in, and for that we need to really be as visible as possible. So again, Ward 6 is 100% in with us. So let's do it.
Well, thank you.
I just have a story time. In the Peace Garden will be April 11th instead of April the 4th because of Easter weekend. We didn't wanna have the kids have to choose either their Easter egg hunts or story time. So we moved it to April 11th at 10 o'clock in the garden. I also want to thank Parks for just being on top of everything whenever I call and say, hey, I need help. And so they're there. So thank you. They're very good. Even though you took them away. But they're super good. And I do feel sorry for them that they're out there. In the heat of the day right now, it's just really hard for to see them suffer that way. I can only stay out till 10 and I'm done.
Yeah.
So I feel for them. I know it's hard. I also feel for the kids on the playground because it's super hot right now with our little ones to go have some fun outside too. So that's why we need more trees. So that's all I have right now.
I guess let's start with those online. John?
I have not too many things. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So obviously with it's hard to call it winter rain when it's so hot now, but the winter rains that we got came with a lot of weeds. So a lot of our teams are really, really focused on that, trying to get things cleaned up, especially for the Easter weekend coming up. So we're doing a lot of prep around that and trying to get other, graffitis covered up and other ramadas and things like that taken care of. We're also working through all of our irrigation systems, getting those cranked up. Again, hot weather coming a little sooner than we thought. We need to get some water on everything. And then really the only special project we've had going on outside of normal day-to-day stuff is our construction maintenance team was responsible for putting up and tearing down a lot of things for the rodeos. So they got those put away earlier this month. That's about it.
Thank you. Sierra, do you have anything? I don't know if you normally do an update.
Huh? Which department is Sierra?
So Sierra is our public information officer.
Thank you.
Master of Communications. She's not coming off mute, so maybe she has no updates.
Sorry. Really just our events this weekend. So we have the Kennedy Improvements ribbon cutting at 9 a.m. on Saturday. And then we have the extravaganza that same day. That's at Doris Thompson Park at 10 a.m. And then Sunday we have Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, that's at Reed.
Yeah.
We have been warned it's a lot of metal music, so. All right. I don't know who in Aquatics is talking today.
Let's both talk.
You talk about yours and
we finished two lifeguard classes. We have our third one that is starting this weekend. It's a weekend class. We have 23 kids that are in that class. We have an evening class of 29 kids that signed up for it. And then we have another class, another weekend class that has 26 kids in it, which is going to give us 101 new lifeguards for the summer, which is good. We need them. We haven't started any more of our SSI classes. We're going to wait to get these guys trained and then try to get them trained and that too to become water swim safety instructors. So they're going to – we'll have lots of classes offered this year. We just finalized our locations for all of our classes for this summer, so we're really excited about that. We did a little rearranging, so we're able to offer them back up at El Pueblo. We're really excited about that. What else do we have right now?
Well, Mission Matters progressing pretty well. They seem to be fairly ahead of schedule. Santa Rita Splash Pad also is equally as progressing well. And all the splash pads are going to open April 1st. That's a week from today, with the exception of Fort Lowell and the one at Nadia Jane Baker, which is going to be Saturday, Sunday only. Extended pools are going to open May 1st. We're looking at some repairs at Fort Lowell to see if we can fix the main drain if that happens to be the culprit, and which is going to impact the splash pad of Fort Lowell.
Andy, got
anything? So I talked a little bit in the past here about SkillBridge. It's for military individuals who are transitioning out of service and looking for real-world internships. I am so happy that we finally have our first few candidates that we're hoping to consider for a GIS internship. So we're setting up meet and greets right now. So I'm hoping at the next commission meeting, I can be like, hey, we have our first intern.
They're really happy.
So, yes, I'm very excited about that. Greg talked a little bit about the restructuring. The employee engagement team that's internal to our department set up speed interviewing. We did one today and we're doing one in April. So whether it's an open position within our department, within the city of Tucson, even external, we really want to help support, grow our employees, and give them real-world interviewing experience. We set it up with six facilitators, so they, didn't like speed dating and just switched stations. I thought it was great because they kind of got feedback from different positions, different people have sat on different panels. So we're hoping to continue that on a quarterly basis, just to continue to give our staff the skills necessary to grow, hopefully internally, but externally, if that's a choice.
I know Jasmine had to jump off. She wanted to remind you of the Kennedy ribbon cutting, which Sierra already hit. You can be prepared for more ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings over the next few months. We got a lot of projects getting ready to go into construction and we're finishing up, so we'll keep you abreast. But if you have any questions on capital, let me know.
And then Dean and Aaron both couldn't be here, so I'm recreation right now. So what's really cool, so we did two, what did we call it? The recruitment rodeo. So the week of rodeo, we did our first engagement here where we invited folks to come down, find out about all our seasonal jobs available. They could even apply here on site. So between the two, we had just under 300 participants show up and express interest. So for KidCo in particular, they're going to be doing 200 interviews over 2 days at the end of this week. So excited to see that. But I think what's really awesome, when I first joined this department, we were struggling to get teens to want to work for us. And I think both Aquatics and the Rec Crew have done a really good job of getting back out there in community and reminding that we're a good source for a first job, or come back to us, or if you were bored at home and wants to work, we're happy to have you too. So we have all ages. This Friday at Cherry Ave Rec Center, we're doing family fun night from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Anybody can drop in and participate. Extravaganza at Thompson on Saturday from 10 to 1. And then they mentioned Battle of the Bands at Reed at the DeMeester Center at noon. And then in May, we're going to stand up. So we do a KidCo orientation / training, but they do it over a course of a couple days, which I think makes it a lot more digestible for the younger minds. So that'll be May 26th to the 29th. We're helping the city manager's office facilitate an employee softball tournament at Lincoln April 11th. And on April 24th at El Rio, there will be a health and safety fair from 10 to 1. And June 1st, Summer KidCo starts. Like, life is going fast. So those are their significant updates. From my end, so Donnie, our former deputy director, she left last year, November? Yeah. So it's been a while. We miss her. But we're currently actively recruiting for a new deputy, so excited to see what that results in. I would say just in terms of announcements or updates, budget is going to start to become a very big topic for the city. I wouldn't be surprised, starting April 7th, mayor and council meeting, then through the last meeting in May 19th is when the recommended budget has to be announced. So between it's about 6 weeks that there's going to be a lot of budget cut talks and centered around how to bridge this very significant deficit that the city has. And many departments are being looked at to lose funding. So if you're interested in seeing it live, or you can watch it also recorded on YouTube, the April 7th meeting would be the one. And then, of course, on the 22nd, any updates that I have to give, we're going to set an actual budget discussion on the future agenda, on that agenda, as well as our fees. So, Trevor, do you have any other announcements? Yeah.
I know that Ward 1 was having a Dia de las Niñas festival at Mission Manor Park.
April.
Was it the 25th?
Yeah, it's at 20. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Antonio's.
And we will be participating in that event to kind of promote the pool, but also promote investments and stuff.
Well, that's a lot of stuff happening so fast. So we have future agenda items. Manon, do you have anything for a future agenda item?
Yeah, I would like to know a little bit more about what's going on in Armory Park, about the citizen and what Robin said about where is this money going for the senior meals as well. I'm not sure quite sure how to phrase that, but I would like some more understanding of just what's going on in both of those items.
We, in the memo that was sent out last week, we do plan to talk about PCOA because there is some meetings being held by them about how they're planning to fund the next year. So we don't have a lot of details yet. So it would have been a bit preemptive to talk today without the Friday meeting occurring. So we think that is
for the future.
Yeah. For the next meeting, yeah.
And so one other thing, you mentioned that the fiscal budget is going to be talked about a lot on April 7th. When that actually is approved, Is it possible for us to get a line by line to compare between the upcoming year and the previous year?
Sure. I mean, it's going to be a massive document. And I'll just explain. So you have, like, I'll take one sample. John has irrigation, right? An irrigation subsection. Under that, there's probably 20 plus lines. So imagine every single unit, Kidco, TR. So I think it would be helpful for us to know how you would like to see that, because it could be overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming for me.
Yeah, just the departments and themselves, that would be probably
by helpful. Division. Yeah.
Yeah, by division, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. The final adopted budget, how divisions compare.
Between this year and last year. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Kathy, do you have anything for future agenda?
I just wanted to echo my interest in learning more about the senior services and what's going on there. So.
Kathy?
I already put out what I wanted to know to the other chairs.
Okay.
She has some interest around aquatics.
Okay.
Maurice?
Well, like Menno, I'm really worried about what I hear about Armory Park, and this is not the first time I'm hearing it. Okay, we're having a problem here. We cut down Saturdays for seniors. We cut down Saturday operation for seniors in our rec centers. So we got a problem. So obviously we have a revenue issue, and which is going to get worse. Okay, if we expect the city to provide that revenue. So I'm just throwing something out, you know, in the fire over here. But are we thinking about maybe charging for activities in our rec centers? And if we're not, could we possibly look into it so that there is a revenue stream that, you know, would somehow make up some of the, you know, shorthands that we're dealing with right now? I mean, we know why we don't have a set of the in the rec center anymore, because there's no money. Okay. So, meanwhile, we have facilities. The lady that was here, Ms. Judy Ball, mentioned there's a whole brand new ballroom, okay, which is sitting there, which is not doing anything. Okay. Is there maybe a way to advertise it somewhere so we get some kind of, you know, rental revenue? I'd like to put this on the agenda. Also, I would like to, get a recap of what are we doing with our proposal, to do massive fundraising, can we schedule, you know, open houses like we had mentioned we would like to do? How are we doing with the QR codes? Is it a legal way of raising money, or should we maybe just hook up with a 501(c)(3) organization to collect those funds? I would like to put this on the agenda next month so we know where we're at. Okay. And like Linda said, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. So we need to do something. We can't just forget about it. Okay. That's my point.
Thank you. I know there's a lot with the Armory Park, so I think an Armory Park update on everything. So just so it's all one thing.
Well,
it's just, but there's several components to the Armory Park.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing is, I know that we wanted to help parks with their cleanup and stuff. So I would like to know if we could invite Tucson Clean and Beautiful for an adopt a park information so that everybody knows the process for adopting a park to help our park employees with help clean up. It just takes a couple people getting together and just cleaning up the park, but they have resources to help people do that. So just a little update.
Sure.
And then I was asked by Antonio to see if we could discuss
changing a time and a date for our meetings so that he can attend. Right now, currently, he's having a hard time attending. So I don't know if he'll be here next month, but, you know, he did want to talk about a change of dates and times. And I think maybe that could be a discussion.
Sure. And we can find out information from the clerk's office
how that works.
I don't.
Okay. Thanks. So our next meeting is April 22nd. Do I have a motion to adjourn this meeting? Mm-hmm. Kathy?
Yes. I will. I offer a motion to adjourn this current meeting.
Maurice?
I will second it.
5 p.m.
Go. Yeah, good. All those in favor, say bye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have a
problem. So I haven't been able to get feedback.
I hadn't looked at it in so long, so I didn't know it's the
and then
So I will be talking to her as her appointee.
Here you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Sorry I was late today.